Yummy?
Hey, what's up, Sam?
Oh, perfect. Good morning, and welcome to Road Warrior Radio. You're tuning in live this Friday, April 20th, 2018, on the one and only Republic Broadcasting Network. And as always, thanks for coming along for the ride. And a wild and dystopic ride it is, but we're working on fixing that, aren't we? We are going to beat back the forces of tyranny, and interesting, our culpability. To whom do we assign culpability in this society? I read my letter to the world earlier this week, and so we sort of covered that, but you know, like yesterday, I want to keep it sort of light. We'll return to serious stuff next week. I mean, not entirely. It's not comedic or anything like that, but I'm not going to probably dive in too deep on anything today, but we will address important matters. I don't think we'll see what happens, but maybe we'll leave the headlines alone. That's difficult usually, but we'll see what happens. Anyway, where to start? Yesterday marked the 243rd anniversary of the shot heard round the world, the Battle of Lexington and Concord. And what has come to be known as Patriots Day. So, you know, when folks like Jim in Illinois call in, they mention the spirit of 1775. Really, it's sort of embodied in this concept, and it's interesting. Yesterday, there was a pro-Second Amendment rally in Kalispell, Montana, where Chuck Baldwin has resided for the last going on 9 years. Moved to Kalispell in 2011, I believe. Was it? No, 2009, I think is what it was. Anyway, there was an event, pro-Second Amendment rally, commemorating the 243rd anniversary of the Battle of Lexington and Concord. And it seemed to... I actually attended the event, and I was pleasantly surprised, I must say. The advertisement for the event, as I mentioned to a few people quietly last week, had a note, a disclaimer at the bottom of the advertisement that read, well, I'll read it precisely. It says note, and in very small print, by the way, the smallest print on the ad. It's a big quarter page ad, I believe, in one of the local publications. Yeah, quarter page ad. But the note at the bottom reads, firearms, note, firearms are prohibited in county buildings. So nothing says, you know, I quipped to some folks privately, nothing says pro-Second Amendment rally like the prohibition of firearms at your rally. So what was interesting was, first of all, Chuck Baldwin was the MC of sorts and also a featured speaker. Anyway, he addressed that issue from the outset of the gathering and to explain why, you know, the meeting was there, and it kind of made sense because, you know, he said as it gets later, it's difficult to find a place that has lighting. And, you know, I conjectured that if you wanted to do something like this in the spirit of the Battle of Lexington and Concord, you probably wouldn't do it in a county building. You would do it. You'd find someone that has, there are a number of arenas that are privately owned in the area and large buildings that have ample lighting that are privately owned. And anyone familiar with the Flathead Valley area knows that. So that was interesting. But he went on to explain that one of the folks in attendance and featured speakers took it upon himself to research this issue because apparently Chuck Baldwin had coffee or something with this person, dinner, whatever it was, fairly recently, and mentioned the event. And this gentleman said, who had been an undersheriff in Flathead County, and he said, I don't believe that is the case. So the long and short of it is research was done, calls were made to a variety of different agencies, which is, a pejorative in this context, but I digress. But the sheriff's department, county commissioner's office, I believe, and I think local police, there were some agencies that were contacted, and they all said, no, that's not our understanding. We know of no law that says that firearms are prohibited. In this case, in the fairgrounds in county buildings. So at the fairgrounds, anyway, so that was an interesting, I suppose, positive note on which to start. But there were a number of compelling speakers. It was largely unrehearsed, I suppose, if you will. It didn't seem contrived in the usual sense, but it was good. It was good. The one thing I suppose that left me scratching my head was the fact that it doesn't seem that there will be much follow-up on that. You know, looking back, you know, commemorating the Battle of Lexington and Concord, thinking of the Minutemen, who can assemble today in America at a moment's notice? Who even knows their neighbor anymore? And we've been led to believe by the technocrats, by the soothsayers, you know, the overlords, the philosopher kings, that knowing your neighbor is dangerous, and it's an interesting sort of paradox. Those who don't listen to this network and this broadcast, for example, believe that knowing your neighbor is dangerous because your neighbor, well, might be me, might be someone, some crazy person who just wants to be left alone. And then there's someone like me on the other side of the discussion who is very wary of the unwashed masses, so to speak, who want to see something and say something that doesn't comport to what the propaganda tells us our behavior should be and our thinking or not should be. So it's an interesting, tenuous sort of paradox there, I think. It's very interesting. But we should be getting to know our neighbors. And as one gentleman mentioned, the only thing, you know, there's been this soft gun grab and hard gun grab as a result mainly of the Parkland incident. And I would expect more of those high school incidents where you have although that area in Florida is fairly unique to my understanding. I mean, you have all of the elements. You have the sheriff's department led by Scott Israel, which is, you know, clearly corrupt. You have the mosques, the Darul Uloom Institute of Pembroke Pines in particular, in that area that Sheriff Israel visited with other deputies on duty and talked about their program to help children like Nicholas Cruz that didn't get help. How ironic. And that mosque has a history of being satellited or surveilled by the FBI and its informants and producing more than one Gladio B styled patsy. And that predates 9/11, by the way. You have, of course, you know, the Fort Lauderdale airport incident where, according to Sheriff Israel's own admission, we apprehended the suspect in less than 80 seconds after the first shot was fired, which is miraculous. I applaud them for that. But where were they with four deputies on scene at the Marjorie Stonemason Douglas High School incident? It kind of makes you scratch your head, doesn't it? The incident's over in 7 minutes, and law enforcement rushes in at the 11-minute mark. And so the cliche goes, when seconds count, law enforcement is just minutes away. Not that there's anything funny or cliche about that, whatever happened. But I would expect more of those kinds of things, because it worked in a large extent to sort of create the color revolution ripple effect that was desired. Of course, you know, mustering all of those resources, commercial airliners, not just flights, but entire airliners, several, for round-trip flights and convention rooms in hotels and things like that, starting 501c4s and contacting high-profile A-list celebrities who are, you know, part of the power elite. So C. Wright Mills identified those five groups, and so on and so on and so on. This obviously was a coordinated effort and took massive resources to marshal, but it was effective for bad guys in a certain sense, so I would expect to see more of that. But the point is, one of the speakers mentioned that the only way to really address this properly is one-on-one, as neighbors talk to neighbors, and those who – it's a very interesting issue, though, because you hear folks like there was a discussion between Geraldo Rivera and Dan Bongino not too long ago along these lines, and it's very interesting how adamant – and emphatic people are on either side of the line. Geraldo Rivera, the gun grabber side of the line, Dan Bongino saying, "I didn't do anything wrong. Don't try to touch my guns." And, you know, in the discussion that I'm thinking of, they both sort of agree to disagree, because they both concede, "You're not going to convince me. You're not going to convince me." So that's interesting. But this speaker said, you know, the only way through this issue is to invite neighbors who are confused, I would say, in my vernacular, out to the shooting range, for example, which I think is a great idea. There is something different. Thomas Jefferson was right. Let your gun be your constant companion during your walks. And there's something different about it. You know, he was right about exercise. Exercise with the ball stamps no character on the mind, but the firearm, on the other hand, is different. The gun is different. And we all know, you know, if you go to the range, there's something different about firearms. And so those who have never used a firearm should not be weighing in on this discussion, who don't know the history of the Second Amendment. One of the important clarifications that was made late in the discussion at yesterday's meeting, which always apparently you would think it would go without saying, but these days apparently it doesn't, because, you know, I talked to one student who has been courageous enough to muster a pro-gun rally at his high school, and that's gained national attention for better or for worse. But I asked him, you know, are kids in your school encouraged to read the Declaration of Independence, Constitution, Bill of Rights? He said, nope, not in any of our classes, not in American history, social studies, civics, nothing. So that's unfortunate. But, you know, the Second Amendment reads, a well-regulated militia being necessary to the security of a free state, the right of the people to keep and bear arms shall not be infringed. It is inherent. That is an enumerated right. It is not a declared or granted right. So it is enumerated. It is one of the many, the innumerable, perhaps, inalienable rights that are spoken of in the Declaration of Independence. We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, that among those, in other words, including but not limited to, so including also but not limited to, a well-regulated militia being necessary to the security of a free state, the right of the people to keep and bear arms shall not be infringed. And lest we be confused, the Ninth Amendment tells us the enumeration in the Constitution of certain rights shall not be construed to deny or disparage others retained by the people. But when it comes to firearms, what, you know, there's also this specious discussion that, you know, you don't need military-grade weapons. Well, as one person puts it, as some put it, the equivalent force necessary to repel whatever threat is needed. So what does that mean? And when we start getting into the forces of tyranny, you know, it's interesting. And it's also a provocative side note, I think, to mention that people that say, well, you know, that was for guys who had muskets. Yeah, but what do you think the military weapon of the day was? It was the musket. We'll be right back.
Folks, we're living in a world the likes of which we've never perceived any clearer than we do now. The plan for global governance has been in the works for generations and would have likely been achieved by now but for the fact that the globalists left open their Achilles heel. With all their tools, Federal Reserve System, fiat currency, No Child Left Behind, and then Common Core education introduced to our schools to dumb us down, vaccines, pharmaceuticals to lobotomize us, GMO foods, insertion of compromised or bought and paid for politicians, judges, mainstream media propaganda, all pieced together like a puzzle designed to ultimately bring the world under submission. But with all their strategy, they forgot one thing: knowledge. And knowledge is power. With knowledge, their bombardment is nullified. Folks, with that, as brilliant and knowledgeable as you've become, among the wisest audience of any radio audience in the world, and you are, I want you to take a moment to reflect and ask yourself, how much of that knowledge did I obtain from Republic Broadcasting Network? How high has my consciousness been raised since I've been a listener? How fast am I now able to discriminate truth from fake news by being a Republic Broadcasting listener? How clear am I now able to see the world since I've been listening to RBN? Ask yourselves those questions, folks. Then ask yourself, what is that knowledge worth to me? Like my morning coffee, How would I survive without it? A voice of truth in a sea of lies. Do we not all need to make sure it survives? Like public broadcasting, we are now finding we can only survive with listener support. Censorship, advertisers being attacked, truth itself being attacked. It's the only way through this. We at Republic Broadcasting humbly ask you to become a supporter. Look at your budget and make a determination of what Republic Broadcasting is worth to you and what you can afford on a monthly basis. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and pledge 20, 30, 40, 50, if possible, 100 a month or more if it's affordable. Click the donate button and become a regular monthly donor. Assure both us and yourself that Republic Broadcasting truth will continue to flow like that morning coffee. The network thanks you.
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855-2-KEEP-IT today.
Well, I think it's time we ask ourselves if we still know the freedoms that were intended for us by the Founding Fathers. Not too long ago, two friends of mine were talking to a Cuban refugee, a businessman who had escaped from Castro. And in the midst of his story, one of my friends turned to the other and said, "We don't know how lucky we are." And the Cuban stopped and said, "How lucky you are. I had some place to escape to." And in that sentence, he told us the entire story. If we lose freedom here, there's no place to escape to. This is the last stand on earth. And this idea that government is beholden to the people, that it has no other source of power except the sovereign people, is still the newest and the most unique idea in all the long history of man's relation to man. This is the issue of this election. Whether we believe in our capacity for self-government or whether we abandon the American Revolution and confess that a little intellectual elite in a far distant capital can plan our lives for us better than we can plan them ourselves.
That is it in a nutshell. Man, he was good, wasn't he? I mean, to that extent. That's it. That's it. That's the battle. Again, with the context of the death cult ideology in view, that is, it's an addiction. It's like any other addiction. The death cult ideologues hold a view that is addictive in nature. It's like anything, you know. Again, it's like the anorexic or bulimic who just can't stop. It's like, you know, the drug addict who wants to get higher and higher to maintain that high. It's the same thing, you know. These people that think if we could just, it's the, you know, the otherizing of folks, the eliminating of the undesirables, and eliminationism that is sort of the addiction and the sickness that feeds on itself. It's never ending. And so you'll always find another contingent of undesirables. Like with any addiction, you know, that feeds on itself. So that is the antithesis of Christian love. You know, the two greatest commandments, Jesus was asked, you know, love your God, love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. The second is like unto it. And it's simple when you see that. You know, it's interesting, the most profound lessons from God are usually the most simple. I call them the wows and does, because you go, wow. And then in the next breath you go, well, duh, yeah. So that's just what any parent would want as a father. That's what we want as fathers, for our children to gladden our hearts with their behavior, so to speak, and then to love those you know, in a fashion that gladdens our heart. And it's just that simple. You know, that makes a father's heart smile. And so, naturally, that makes God's heart smile, so to speak. Anyway, it's that simple. And 243 years later, this is the same question. Reagan asking the question in 1964 on the Goldwater presidential campaign trail. This is the issue, whether we believe in our capacity for self-government or whether we abandon the American Revolution and confess that a little intellectual elite in a far distant capital can plan our lives for us better than we can plan them ourselves. John Adams said there's something particularly odious about a government 1,000 leagues off. But this is the question. The technocrats would have us believe that's the only way forward. These problems that have been engineered, crises that have been manufactured, the only way through them is, you know, to let the technocrats lead. The folks that have given us the bad ideas, that have gotten us into this mess, are the ones who are going to lead us out, is a, what do you call that? A fallacy of circular reasoning. It's absurd. I think they call that insanity. Isn't that a definition of insanity? Doing the same thing, expecting different results? Anyway, we will be right back. Stick around.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
There is an ongoing war right here in America. Are you aware that U.S. citizens have been classified as enemies of the state since 1933? Have you recognized that our entire government is really a vast network of interlocking corporations engaged in commerce? Look up Title 28, Section 3002. Tune in to In Defense of Humanity on Saturday nights at 7 p.m. Central Time. Find out what's really going on and learn how to protect yourself and your family as flesh and blood men and women living in a corporate reality.
Extendivite is more than just a heart tonic. Most basic diseases are caused by yeast in the gut and metals in the liver, and we all have a bit of both. The garlic and extendivite has a yeast-killing effect in the gut while also helping the sulfur enzyme in the liver get rid of the metals. Extendivite just may improve your overall health. Products like extendivite are the only way we are going to get our society healthy. And if you're waiting for the government and pharmaceutical care to solve your health problems, you're going to have a long, disappointing wait, I think. Extendivite is a complete formula for extended life in the new millennium. 80 can be the new 60. Extendivite is available in capsule or liquid form for just $69.95 for a two-month supply. To get started, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Okay, nurse, let's get this man to the ER stat.
Right away, doctor.
We see this every day. Heart attack or angina pain due to blocked and clogged arteries. Chelation can remove obstructions or blockages from arteries and help avoid painful and expensive surgery. Now there's Angioprim. It's a liquid oral chelation product that you take with juice. You start to feel the results fast. Angioprim increases blood flow all over the body, and that means more energy and strength to take on the day with less aches and pains. 60 years of research has gone into chelation, and Angioprim is the result. A safe and easy way to unblock your veins and arteries from buildup that slow circulation.
Paging Dr. Jones, please report to the emergency room right away.
Log on now for a special radio offer from Angioprim. That's angioprim.com/radio. A-N-G-I-O-P-R-I-M. Angioprim.com/radio or call 877-882-7221. That's 877-882-7221.
We know of an ancient radiation that haunts dismembered constellations, a faintly glimmering radio station.
Welcome back.
Beyond the suns that God
bottom of the first hour. Phone lines are open, by the way. 800-313-9443. Again, 800-313-9443. Ronald Reagan was right. It's always the issue. I remember, you know, not being able to really understand what the founders, what the heck were those guys talking about? And then, you know, coming across Reagan's words, and it clicked. Something clicked. And then all of a sudden, Jefferson started to make sense, and Adams started to make sense, and Washington, and, you know, all of these guys started making sense. Before that, it was like, holy cow, you know, if I had more time, I'd make a shorter point, was the cliche. Didn't make any sense. Didn't, you know, it was holy cow, you know. A lot of information. And then all of a sudden, you know, Ronald Reagan was right. And that was the connection back for me. Because he said it. I think it's time we ask ourselves if we still know the freedoms that were intended for us by the founding fathers. And how about by God himself? Because, you know, we hold these truths to be self-evident. All men are created equal. Yeah, but people had slaves. Do you know that they were having discussions about that? They were. And I've spoken to that. You know, again, just briefly returning to that, I mentioned John Adams' letter to Hezekiah Niles on the American Revolution back in February of, it was February 13, 1818. Great read. Great jumping off point. But – You know, the America in Class series, which I think is great, americainclass.org/sources/making revolution is a great series, which includes information on that subject. A section, actually. And so there are sections, primary resources by theme. Number one, section one, crisis, 1763 to 75. Section two, rebellion, 1774 to 76. Section six of, or subsection six of section two, rebellion, is titled The Enslaved, Calls for Abolition Based on Slavery's Inconsistency with Ideals in the Declaration of Independence, 1773 to 83. Slaves petition to the Massachusetts Assembly to End Slavery, 1777, and the Anti-Slavery Clause of Thomas Jefferson's Draft of the Declaration of Independence, 1776. Really? That conversation was being had? Yeah. Just because the Rockefeller historical revisionists and maybe the folks that try to put the historical record straight should be called historical correctivists. It's interesting how these sophists work. You know, they'll say that someone who, well, like I just did, tries to correct the historical record, pointing out the way that you know, the again, getting back to the Reese Committee's investigation and proof that these large foundations were working to rewrite history. They were the historical revisionists to suit their agenda, to spin a certain narrative, collectivist worldview, and balkanizing America, harping on this issue of slavery, which is very contrived. You know, again, you go back to the historical record and you realize that the first slave owner recognized by the state, so to speak, in America was a black man, which, you know, doesn't suit the controversial balkanizing narrative, you know, that only he owned black and white slaves. You know, Alan Watt has done a good job of detailing, you know, cataloging the history of the rednecks, for example. What is a redneck? What is the etymology of that term? So, you know, we need to go back and, you know, historical correctivism, I guess, or whatever you want to call it, instead of this idea that if you're trying to correct the historical record and right the wrongs, then you're a historical revisionist, which is like saying that, you know, something engineered in a lab is food, but then, you know, this stuff is organic, paleo, gluten. No, just if it's food, just call it food. The other stuff that's engineered should be called something else. It's not food. But I digress. So Reagan was right. I think it's time, he said, we ask ourselves if we still know the freedoms that were intended for us by the Founding Fathers. If we lose freedom here, there's no place to escape to. This is the last stand on earth. The world is watching. And this idea that government is beholden to the people, that it has no other source of power except the sovereign people, is still the newest and most unique idea in all the long history of man's relation to man. This is the issue, he said, of this election. It is of every election. Midterms are coming up. But it's the issue every day in this country, whether we believe in our capacity for self-government or whether we abandon the American Revolution and confess that a little intellectual elite in a far distant capital can plan our lives for us better than we can plan them ourselves. That's always been the issue. But can we be honest? We have enjoyed the fruits of corruption, all of us, to some degree. We have enjoyed the fruits of, and fruits is a pejorative in this sense, don't get me wrong. We've enjoyed the fruits of the exploitation of disparity. You know, exploiting disparities around the world, crony capitalism, and fascism, whatever you want to call it. It's not really capitalism. But all of this is sort of predicated on a, you know, you might say a spiritual battle or a psychological sickness that again gets back to Devil Bill Rockefeller, who trained his kids by tricking them how to do business with other people. And what we need today is a return to the, again, sort of first principles idea to appoint or elect folks to public office who have the kind of character. Again, this gets back to Thomas McNeice's point in the Reese Committee hearings when he was asked, you know, wouldn't you want an expert if you were, you know, leading some government agency or you were president, wouldn't you want experts? And he said, yeah, but first I'd want to know what their ideological leaning is. And more importantly, are they men and women of character? Exodus chapter 18, verse 21. Furthermore, you shall select out of all the people able men who fear God, men of truth, those who hate dishonest gain. And you shall place these over them as leaders of thousands, of hundreds, of fifties, and of tens. Those kinds of men who fear God, men of truth, those who hate dishonest gain. Where are those men? No secret combinations and all that nonsense. You know, Washington told us in his farewell address, all obstructions to the execution of the laws, all combinations and associations under whatever plausible character with the real design to direct, control, counteract, or awe the regular deliberation and act and action of the constituted authorities are destructive of this fundamental principle and of fatal tendency. They serve to organize faction, to give it an artificial and extraordinary force, to put in the place of the delegated will of the nation, the will of a party, often a small but artful and enterprising minority of the community, and according to the alternate triumphs of different parties, to make the public administration the mirror of the ill-concerted and incongruous projects of faction, rather than the organ of consistent and wholesome plans digested by common councils and modified by mutual interests. However, combinations or associations of the above description may now and then answer popular ends, they are likely, in the course of time and things, to become potent engines by which cunning, ambitious, and unprincipled men will be enabled to subvert the power of the people and to usurp for themselves the reins of government, destroying afterwards the very engines which have lifted them to unjust dominion. And I would submit that through the course, just in the short lesson of Devil Bill Rockefeller, to me, that is the emblematic, you know, his face should be on the Rockefeller family's flag, because that's how they've come to the level of social prominence they have. It's him. And again, it's this death cult ideology, perhaps best represented in his son, John D., ardent eugenicist, and on and on. So that and the artful, cunning, ambitious, and unprincipled endeavors of the Fabian socialists. London School of Economics doesn't even, their unabashed, you know, Fabian socialist organization, which works to the favor of a very limited clique and to the detriment of the rest of the world, period. And that's really not a secret. Is this American? However, combinations or associations of the above description may now and then answer popular ends, and were constantly thrown into crisis after engineered crisis, after manufactured crisis, so that we can have this answer to popular ends. Or answer popular ends. They are likely in the course of time and things to become potent engines by which cunning, ambitious, and unprincipled men will be enabled to subvert the power of the people and to usurp for themselves the reins of government, destroying afterwards the very engines which they have lifted, which have lifted them to unjust dominion. And that's what they're going to do. They're going to burn the bridge behind themselves so that there's no turning back and no following them into this technocratic nightmare. But we still have our founding documents. What say we? Anyway, let's go to the phones and grab Dave in Wisconsin. Dave, thanks for calling. Welcome.
Yeah, hi, Chris. Good morning.
Hi, Dave.
Hi. I want to. I called in yesterday, and I want to follow up on my comment I made yesterday about that very revealing book by Brett Dawson. It's called The Evil Deeds of the Ratbag Profession in the Legal Justice System. But I want to precede my comment about that by saying this. When I call in and make some comments about one piece of subject matter or the other, I'm not being an apologist for Anglicanism or Roman Catholicism or any ism, any of the different organizations or ideologies. I'm just trying to point toward something that I've discovered and found to be useful in terms of comprehending what the problem is, and after recognizing that, it has been helpful to me when I articulate facts and statistics and figures to people that are elected into office primarily, but call-in radio is also a great exercise. But so anyway, I'm not an apologist for any organization. I'm just speaking from my discoveries. But in that book, he traces the history of the legal profession in great detail through Europe and into America, and how it came from the inquisitorial to the adversarial. And obviously, the adversarial system was very, very different than the inquisitorial system. And the inquisitorial system gets this, let's put it, this otherizing by just the what's called a dog whistle, the Spanish Inquisition. And I guess it was a very dreadful time. I guess there were something like 600 and some people that were put to death as the result of that Inquisition, a large number of people. I can't remember. It might have been 6,000, but or 4,000 or 4. My memory is fading a little bit. But nevertheless, he compares the two, and what he describes in the early chapters of that book is that in the adversarial system, what used to happen in England primarily is what he's describing at that period of time when our nation separated, around 1775, 1776, right, and so forth. And what he describes is how at previous to that period of time in England, it was that there was a judge that where there was someone that was captured or accused or something of a crime, and he would come before the judge, and the judge would inquire, and then there would be a determination from there. So as time developed, what happened was that designing, enterprising people that were intelligent started developing the system of standing in on behalf of the accused. So what it became, right, was more of a, yes, and so
the representation.
The representation instead of the secondhand news, the facts after they're doctored, etc. So so at this point in time, what happens is that the most heinous, vile people in the world commit the perfect crime, quote-unquote, perfect crime, and then there's always a defense attorney that will step in as long as they get paid well. And I hear the music. I would like to just finish my thought on it, please.
Yeah, absolutely. Stick around, folks. We'll be right back.
corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
Without the right accessories, any guy can be off the mark. Whether you've invested thousands in your arsenal or you own a single trusted firearm, a visit to AROutfitting.com is in order. It's one of the finest online selections of tactical optics and AR parts and add-ons, like EOTech, quick target acquisition with no peripheral loss. Browse the full range of Nikon scopes and binoculars. AROutfitting.com can illuminate your world with Streamlight gun-mounted lights from keychain to large handhelds, up to 1,100 lumens. Find some stability with Battenfield tactical bipods. AROutfitting.com has CMMG gun parts, barrels, assemblies, handguards, part kits, and more. Plus Magful clips and magazines. I know I've got you excited, so take a breath. Head to AROutfitting.com. The site's super easy to navigate and features a ton of technical info, including links to manuals. We also welcome vendor and manufacturer inquiries. Remember, if you don't see it, we can get it at AROutfitting.com.
Do you know there is an ongoing war right here in America? Are you aware that U.S. citizens have been classified as enemies of the state since 1933? Have you recognized that our entire government is really a vast network of interlocking corporations engaged in commerce? Look up Title 28, Section 3002. Tune in to In Defense of Humanity on Saturday nights at 7 p.m. Central Time. Find out what's really going on and learn how to protect yourself and your family as flesh and blood men and women living in a corporate reality.
Wow. Final segment of the first hour already. This Friday, April 20th, we're on the phones. We have Dave in Wisconsin. Go ahead, Dave.
Back to my point. Anyway, Lifting up the left-right paradigm just for a second in regards to my comments here, consider law on the left and grace, the grace of Christ on the right, in terms of what I'm trying to describe here. But so anyway, at this point in time, the people that are the most aggressive at whatever they do usually have a very high paid lawyer that covers whatever their nefarious activities are and or not nefarious activity. In other words, to defend whatever they say or do. Now, one of the people I personally know said, well, law points the way, which I don't disagree with. So bad law would obviously point the way toward what is bad, and good law in terms of legislators. But so that's what's happened. That over the time, over the period of time of 240 plus years, it's another one of the devices where the City of London Corporation is trying to reconquer us is through this, what Linda Lee Kennedy, who is a lawyer, a disbarred lawyer from Virginia that I had a delightful dinner with over in Orlando about 14 years ago, described this in great detail. As a matter of fact, she posted on the internet, and I think it's still there. It's called Holodeck Law and Litigation Vortex, where she goes into great detail about exactly how this is transpiring now. So being aware of that is half of the challenge of who it is that is the darkest actors that are the most able to get away with what they get away with, because they're actually behind the perps defending them as defense attorneys. Clarence Darrow is a good example from the last century. But it's compelling to know that, and it's so much easier to articulate to people at county board meetings or even in court if that event transpires where you're accused of something. I successfully defended myself the last time I was accused of something without any assistance from anyone. And mm-hmm. But it does. It requires a lot of time and effort and study. But right. Even the first couple chapters of that book, I highly, highly recommend for anyone, leaving aside all other subject matter issues, because it's a real eye opener.
Cite the book again.
It's by Brett Dawson. And it's called The Evil Deeds of the Ratbag Profession in the Legal Justice System. And it's a little garbled up from the one I was able to find in about the first two or three pages. It must have been placed there during the early days of the internet, but after about a page and a half or two pages, all of the printing comes out clear, but anyway, and it can be purchased. But nevertheless, I'm not trying to sell a book or anything. I'm just trying to say I learned a lot from that in terms of what we're in the middle of here. And, you know, it's impossible to say, well, I'm not in court, I'm not involved with that. But that's not really accurate, because the legislators many of them are defense attorneys. Others are prosecutors. Mm-hmm. So it's important and necessary to know this, to have an idea of how John Stadtmiller used the term, the whole system has been flipped. Well, that's who flipped it, was these lawyers.
Yep, absolutely. And the judiciary has been corrupted, and Congress is complicit, and the executive is running amok, just like the founder suggested it would. That'll do it for the first hour. Stick around, second hour coming up right after the short break. We'll be right back.
This is RBN, the Republic Broadcasting Network.